Grade 1 Conference, Lecture 3, The Fourfold Human Being, Part 3. I completed the previous lecture by leaving open the question of what happens to the etheric umbilical cord when a mother is deceased or when the child is adopted by another pair of parents. Number one, it doesn't matter from Steiner's picture of this whether the biological mother is on the earth or having died is in the spiritual world. The connection is still there. That's a very powerful connection because, again, the mother is the gateway for that child into earthly life. The forces of heredity are very strong in our etheric body. That is basically where they are carried throughout our life. And therefore, that connection must remain for a lawfully determined period of time. And etherically speaking, that's about 7 to 9 years. What about a child who is adopted? This is more complicated and bears, I think, growing significance for our time. The adopted child is going to have the connection to the biological mother. That child may be living in New York City. The biological mother may be in Colombia, may be in Russia, may be in China. It doesn't matter. That connection is still there. On the other hand, the loving care, the rhythmicity, the regularity, the nurturing quality of life that we hope the adoptive parents are providing helps to develop something like a second etheric umbilical cord between the adoptive mother and the child. So a child who is adopted in our time has the capacity of developing deep etheric connections to two mothers. And here we feel something of the exceptionality of the modern adopted child shines through. Think of how many children are being adopted now and how many more would be were countries like China and Russia less restrictive. This has never been seen before on the earth. These souls who are traveling halfway around the globe in order to be united with the parents who are going to unite them more deeply with the physical world than their biological parents might be able to. And it's very likely, especially if you're in an urban Waldorf school, that you're going to have adopted children in your class, probably more than I had when I started teaching in the 1980s, or even teachers who were teaching as I was also in the late 20th century. This is a very 21st century trend, and it is connected very much to the inflowing of etheric forces, which is what Waldorf education is also very connected to. And we will see in the fairy tales that we look at how adoption plays itself out in a very beautiful way. So that's important, that etheric umbilical cord. I've told you here pretty much all that Steiner had to say about it. He did not say a lot, but I think he left it to us to fathom it more deeply and work with it in one way or another. So there's the etheric body. Starting out when we are born, stretching from the child's physical body all the way to the orbit of the moon around the earth, and then little by little over 7, 8, 9 to 10, 11 years, uniting itself fully with that physical body. The astral body begins in the astral world, that is, the world of the stars, astra, and particularly it streams towards us from those animal images in the starry world, that is, the zoo circle, the zodiac, the 12 signs of the zodiac, not all of which are animals, but are on the whole astral beings. So the astral body has a much longer journey to make, and it only has 7 years or so longer to also come and be to some degree incorporated into the physical body. We'll see how much in a moment. That means it's going to have to move much, much faster. We could say that the etheric body travels at, sort of spiritually speaking, the equivalent of the speed of sound, but the astral body has to travel at the speed of light much, much faster. It comes, therefore, with greater intensity, with greater momentum. And in fact, it is so vast and so large and comes from a place that is relatively so distant from us here on the earth that it's too much for us. The astral body is again and again threatening to overwhelm us with its powerful soul forces. So with the etheric body, in a way, you almost can't have too much of it, especially nowadays. With the astral body, you easily can have too much of it. And the etheric body serves always as a buffer, as a protective shield, not only from all that's outside of us in the world of nature or in the world that humanity has created for itself, it also serves as a buffer between us and another part of our being. And this is one of the great mysteries that Steiner poses to us, that our fourfold nature does not always play nice. The different components, the different parts of our nature do not always fit neatly into each other like a jigsaw puzzle. Perhaps it wasn't surprising then that Steiner felt that jigsaw puzzles were terrible things for children to play with because they showed that things can only fit in one way. And in reality, especially when it comes to our higher bodies, they fit or do not fit in all sorts of variations and are constantly adjusting and changing and moderating or emphasizing in order to bring something of harmony and something of balance in our nature. But of all of our major four members of our nature, the astral body is really the wild card. The etheric body is anabolic. It builds us up, it maintains our growth, it maintains our life and our health. It's always building things up, especially when we sleep. The astral body is catabolic. The astral body breaks things down. It destroys, it disintegrates. You might feel, well, what's that doing within us then? I don't want that around. Well, just try to do without it for a few seconds. What would we do with all of the food that we eat unless it could be broken down? How would we ever change and grow unless the old forms within us were broken down and replaced little by little with new forms? The astral body makes all of that possible. The astral body does this joyful, destructive work, like the dancing Shiva you'll teach the children about in grade 5. It does this work while we are awake. So the etheric body is strongest, is most active when we are sleeping. The astral body is strongest and most active when we are awake. And what does Steiner tell us about the desirable consciousness of the first grader, in fact, of the grade school, at least primary school, child altogether, It should be a dreamy state, a dreamlike state, halfway between sleeping and waking, in order to affect some degree of balance, if not always harmony, between the astral body and the etheric body. So the etheric body connects us with heredity. The astral body begins to awaken forces of personality, which are a stepping stone to individuality. Though the astral body never carries our true individuality, it always carries something of a reflection of it, sometimes even a caricature of it, or something that manifests very strongly in the soul world, the personality forces. But in any case, those are strong, more outwardly directed, more extroverted than the etheric forces, which remain in a more quiescent and shy state. So there is a tremendous interplay between these forces. However, our job in the primary grades, in grades 1, 2, and 3, on the whole, with few exceptions, even nowadays where, you know, everything seems to be accelerating, even so, our most important work is allowing the etheric body to protect the child from the rapid incursion, the powerful, sometimes overwhelming forces of its own astral body. We are sheltering the child from himself. We are protecting the child from part of her own being. This is quite remarkable. So, of course, it's not just a long list of commandments, thou shalt not, though you understand why that's taught in grade 3, but rather doing what we can to strengthen the etheric body in the classroom, doing what we can, as I've said earlier, to nurture the etheric body, especially through healthy rhythm and a number of other things that the curriculum and Waldorf techniques permit us to do. And in this way, the astral body minds its manners. The astral body goes to charm school, we might say. But here again, in first and second grade, it's not going to assert itself all that strongly, relatively speaking. It varies from class to class. It varies from child to child. But generally, the child who you feel is carrying something of an astral body a little bit strongly is more the exception than the rule in the first grade class. So our concern is mostly going to be not just keeping the astral body at bay, but rather strengthening, expanding, making the etheric body feel comfortable in our classroom. And in this way, we are really doing very important work for the child on the level of health and also on the level of developing memory and really creating the right atmosphere for education. Something else that's interesting, though by age 11, when it reaches its peak, its zenith of incorporation, the etheric body is about 90-95% incorporated. And of course, these terms are pictorial. They're not meant to be precise and quantified. But it's quite a bit incorporated at its peak and then gradually starts to excarnate again. The astral body, on the other hand, even when it is most incorporated in our teenage years and early adulthood, it is never more than 50% incorporated. What a huge difference. To have more astrality than that, well, it does happen, and we call that being sick, because it's the astral body, when it oversteps that mark of approximately halfway in, it gets us ill. And that's the major cause, cause from a spiritual point of view of illness. So why can't the astral body go any deeper than that? What is the problem? It is, among other things, because half of the astral body wants to be in the world of our fellow human beings. The astral body makes us social beings. To know ourselves, as so many sages have told us, look into the world around. Look at your friends. Look at those with whom you associate. Look at those who irk you or who please you. Then you come to know yourself because your astral body is there. It's with them and in them. And this is why, for example, it takes a highly developed figure to be able to bear imprisonment as solitary confinement. This drives many prisoners crazy because the astral body cannot handle it. And its forces of antipathy and sympathy just go haywire. So we need other people. We are hardwired, we might say, especially by our astral body, to be social beings. So we'll hear a little more about the astral body, the etheric again, and their interplay with the ego, and round off this picture of the fourfold human being.